Invite you to be seated. So as I mentioned, our theme for the week, it's the final mark of a disciple of the five marks that the Red Letter Challenge book talks about going out. And today we are going to talk about the ultimate promise keeper. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but the passage we're going to take a look at is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And as we go through that passage, I've broken it down and kind of going verse by verse here. Keep this statement in mind. It's on the sheet if you have the sheet. Jesus keeps all his promises. And so, right away, before I get to verse 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 28, earlier on, the night that Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, he told them that after he rose, he would meet them in Galilee. And then, later on, we fast forward to that first Easter Sunday morning when the women went to the tomb, and then Jesus wasn't there, there were angels. The angels told the women, go, hurry quickly, go tell the disciples, Jesus will meet with them in Galilee. So where do you think our passage is going to take place? Because Jesus keeps his promises, he is going to meet with them in Galilee. And that's exactly what we start out with. So here's the first two verses. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So a couple things in these first two verses jumped out at me. And the first one was right there. 11 disciples should be obvious. And Matthew includes this, I think, intentionally. Because Judas has hung himself, he's no longer with them. This is a stark reminder to those disciples as they're traveling from Jerusalem to Galilee of their sin. I think it reminded them that Judas betrayed Jesus, but they all abandoned Jesus too. Peter, of course, famously denied Jesus three times, but they all scattered. They all took off. They were all scared. And so they had that to remind them. There's only 11 of us now. And the second thing that jumped out at me was some doubted. It says there at the end, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I'd always thought whenever I've read this passage before, and I just assumed that the some doubted was there's still some that just doubted Jesus was the Son of God and all of this, and they just doubted all that. But I think there is a little bit more to this here. I think the some doubted is they doubted what was going to come next. So this word doubted here, is it was used earlier in another event. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter doubted and told Jesus, you know, if it's really you, have me come out. So Peter's walking on water. But then when he looked at the waves and the crashing, the wind blowing in his face, he took his eyes off Jesus and doubted. It's the same word used there. It's when he fell into the water. Because he doubted. He took his eyes off Jesus. And so I think that's what's going on here. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They know he died. They knew he was in the tomb, and now he's alive. And it says here, they worshiped him. I think they were doubting about what's coming up next. And you know, this may sound a lot like you and I at times. You know, we believe in Jesus. We come to church on Sundays. We maybe do something here or there, you know, during the week. We believe in Jesus, but sometimes there's doubts that creep in. It doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, it gives way, it gives opportunity to those doubts to come in. For us to doubt what's really going on here. So I think these back to these disciples a second. I think that's what they're doing. They're scared. They are doubting what Jesus is calling them to do. See, Jesus has spent 3 years with them, teaching them, preaching to them, preparing them for this moment. He's told them already that when they go out, they are going to be persecuted. They are going to be opposed. They are going to be encountered with coldness from people. People aren't going to accept them. I think they're doubting. Jesus is not going to be with them. How could they possibly be the ones? How could we possibly be the ones, Jesus, to go out and spread the gospel? And I think they had a lot of doubt about that. And so maybe you can relate to the disciples. I got a question for you to ponder this week. Have you ever had doubts about what God was or is calling you to do? Have you ever had doubts about that? Well, I've been upfront about this, and I'll tell you again. I have doubts about what God is calling me to do. If you don't believe what I'm going to say next, you can ask my wife, Zara. I still freak out and get super nervous every Sunday I do a sermon. Every Saturday before the Sunday, I am on edge, which is why I didn't golf very well yesterday, by the way. And it doesn't take much to set me off, you know, freaking out. I'm nervous. I can't do this. How can I possibly, a poor, miserable sinner, deliver God's word to people? Well, you know what? If it was up to me and only me, I would fail. But I am not alone. We just sang about this. I'm not alone in this calling. The Holy Spirit works through me as he does each and every one of you when he calls you to something. You are not alone. So this leads us here to the last couple verses of this famous passage that we hear a lot. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And so now Jesus, after they have gathered in Galilee, on what, by the way? A mountain. I'm never going to get tired of that. I'm always going to bring it up when mountains pop up. Big things happen on mountains. He is going to tell them what he wants them to do. And so here we go. Verses 18 through 20. And I call these the four all statements that Jesus is going to make here. First one is in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them on this mountain in Galilee, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God who just died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And all authority has been given to him. And this is one of those cases where Scripture just says it best. And I can't say it any better. And I wanted to read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I got some little words up there for you to follow along. But listen to what Paul here writes about Jesus. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is why Jesus can say, all authority has been given to me, because Jesus, the Son of God, This is a big one. He humbled himself by becoming one of us, one of the created beings. And not only that, he humbled himself to the point that he went to the cross and died a horrible death on our behalf. And because of that, every knee will bow before Jesus. There's hundreds and thousands of religions in our world today, and because of sin, not every knee bows to Jesus. But on that last day, every knee will bow before Jesus. So let's get to the next all statement. All authority. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came for everybody, all people. And if you don't believe me, even way back in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, I have it on the screen. These I will bring to my holy mountain. There's mountain again. Remember, the temple was on a mountain. This is where the people came to make their sacrifices and to pray and worship God. The mountain is also referred to in the Old Testament. This is heaven. This is the mountain. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Then in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, that book in the Bible where John was given a vision of heaven. And listen to what it says in chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. After this, I, John, looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You see, the Bible's very clear. Jesus came for everyone. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, what language you speak, where you're from, who you are. He came for all people. And he's calling his disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations. And this includes you and I. And so no matter how much somebody may annoy us, Jesus came for that person too. The good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone. And this is why Jesus is calling us to do this. So let's finish it off here, verse 20. The first part of verse 20 says this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Jesus has spent 3 years teaching them God's word and preaching it to them about it. The disciples are ready. They're prepared to go out and do this, as we are, because we have his word to go out and teach and observe all things. This is the second part, by the way, of making disciples. The first part was baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is exactly what we do at the baptismal font when you were baptized. One name, by the way, three persons. And then we teach. We talk about God's word with each other. And then we get to the final part here of verse 20. So verses 18 through 20 were my confirmation verses. And that's three verses, you know, and so it's kind of long. And my mom made an amazing confirmation cake for my confirmation. And all that she could fit on it was, "Lo, I am with you always." So that's really what I love about this verse. And behold, Jesus says, I am with you always. The fourth all statement that Jesus makes here. So maybe you're asking yourselves, and the disciples were definitely asking themselves, how could you possibly be the one to go out and spread the good news of Jesus. How could I? Well, the answer is because Jesus said he is going to be with you always to the end of the age. And by the way, if he, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, is telling you that he is going to be with you always, he's got a pretty good track record of keeping his promises, right? He is going to be with you. You are not alone. No matter those times that, you know, Satan wants us to feel alone. He wants us to feel like we're all by ourselves in this world where there's all kinds of crud going on. He wants you to feel alone. But you are not alone ever. Because Jesus promised he's going to be with you always. And he's got a great track record of it. So when you are out there in your daily lives spreading the salt and the light, we talked about us being the salt and the light of the world a couple weeks ago. When we are out there spreading the salt and light, Jesus is with us. Not only is he with us, he is the salt and the light. He's going to use us and work through us as the Holy Spirit does, as we encounter people. And you know what's interesting about Jesus? I just love this too. The guy that tells us he's going to be with us always, we don't have to worry about ever being alone because Jesus is going to be with us. This is coming from the guy who was on the cross. And you remember on that first Good Friday when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows literally what it feels like to be alone because God the Father turned his back on his Son when he was on that cross because he was taking his wrath out on him and who was there in our place. Jesus knows what it feels like to be all alone, but he was doing it because he loves us. And if he tells you he's going to always be with you, you can take it to the bank that he is going to be with you. Amen. Will you please pray with me?